And you are tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. It is now exactly midnight, and it's time for Night Shift.
Night Shift. Oh, yeah.
This is Comm Central. Channel open for executive order AUC 3423. Listen to this, boys.
Tasteless, orderless crud.
Suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
In cases of psychological trauma, when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
It's not exactly the electric chair.
Get in to listen to Sponsored Radio.
I'm going to count to 10 as you're falling asleep. And when I'm finished, you'll be deeply, deeply asleep.
FM.
I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this.
It's Night Shift.
I saw something, they saw something.
Here on Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.
There was a lot of life. FM. That's all I remember.
The overall vagueness of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be?
It's not exactly the electric chair.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
Now, where are my people? The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding?
And you don't think it's time somebody had a dream again, huh? You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
It's an invisible barrier. Keeps anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry.
Most of your days.
in the beginning, there was Chris.
But that one actor, what's his name?
James B. Sicking.
He needs to brush his teeth.
Oh, stop. Maybe that was his character.
His teeth
maybe,
were yellow.
Well, maybe he's a yellow teeth.
I'll tell you, the whole film was disturbing. Character. You know, you sat there and you watched this movie and, like, you don't know what's going on for, like, an hour and a half of the film. The film's only an hour and a half long.
They didn't have enough money to whiten his teeth.
Yes, we're sitting there watching this film. We didn't know what was going on in the film. And that's the feeling that he did, the actor didn't know what was going on in the film. We didn't know what was going on in the film. I was sitting there going, like...
But it had really good sound.
And it had these one... And they whatever effect that you see, they'll show it at least 150 times.
Oh, man. Everything you think is cool...
They'll just keep showing it over and over. You realize it's cool.
It's cool at first.
They show it once, and you're like, wow, that's cool. Then they'll show it to you again and again.
They can make
again.
This film yes. in a half hour.
How about the Twilight Zone? How about when he hit the tree? That was pretty good.
No, that was a good moment.
Yeah, there's one scene
where he's on the swing as a child in a flashback, and you're like him. You're his
yeah,
point
you're
of view.
Yeah, up and down.
You're swinging,
up and
it's like, ah, mommy,
and then all of a sudden you're... Hit the tree.
And he hits the tree. And like the sound is like in your face. And it's six discrete channels of
all
Dolby.
Over your face. Yeah.
Digital.
So if you want to see something and be a freak, you know, go see Final Approach.
It's only playing at one theater. But I mean,
I'd miss it.
I mean, you know, it's one of those films.
It's worth the experience to listen to the sound.
It is.
The sound
is amazing. If you're totally into sound. And it's only playing at the Gemini.
Man, it could have been so good because some of the
Gemini
IMAX,
twin.
The IMAX footage kind of like.
Well, it was IMAX-esque.
IMAX-esque.
I think it was.
IMAX-esque.
You know something? It's funny that when I first met him, I thought he was intelligent.
I don't. I realize I've gotten stupider on the radio. If I'm
yeah. Well, no. In private life too.
Oh my God.
All right. So, what are these guys still weirding out? You're making these weird sort of caller zone.
Hello.
Sounds.
You're on the air with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's this?
Hi, Kurt. Bob.
It's Daoud.
Yes, it is.
Daoud. All right.
Missed anything last week, guys?
Kurt.
Daoud sound disturbs. Does it sound disturbed to you?
Yeah. What's the matter, Daoud?
What's wrong?
What's wrong, man? What's wrong, dear? Did you say that?
No, I said Daoud.
Why'd you try saying that to him?
No.
Go ahead.
I don't know.
What's wrong, dear? Why don't you try that?
Dear? Okay.
Dear. He likes that.
Yeah, he likes it. I mean, would you react okay? Try that, Mike. How are you, dear?
Daoud. No, I can't. I just can't say dear to Daoud. I can't say dear to Daoud. I mean, you know, it's just... All right, listen, Daoud, is something wrong?
You know, you play Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, no. Thank you for telling us.
I'm waiting downstairs for you, Mike. I'm God's lonely man.
No, we can just see Daoud's
just
going. Mike?
Downstairs. Go ahead.
Mike, you say to him, oh, thank you, dear. And then he goes, you talking to me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm looking at myself in the mirror right now.
Well, listen, Daoud, don't worry. You will get a life.
Did he just say, I'm looking at myself in the mirror right now? Yes.
Right now.
He's looking at himself while he's calling, and he's like working out with the other arm, you know, and he's got his gun.
That's your game.
It's like, you cut me off the air? You cut me off the air? And he's ready to kill us.
No, I wouldn't recommend to you. What happened last week, though?
I don't remember.
Week to week.
Yeah, why you didn't tape it or something?
Oh, listen, do you have a VCR?
Oh yeah.
Well, then that's the way.
Well, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I heard you were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, well, that's the way to do it.
Oh, play this. I've heard like at least 5 hours of this.
I gotta show you this.
Well, why don't you show me something?
I had a total.
You know what? Is that gizzard you have there? That's gizzard. What are you doing with gizzard? Why are you eating gizzard?
That's not gizzard, you fool. That's an apple core.
That's gizzard.
Excuse me.
You're eating gizzard,
look at
man.
Him. He's fantasizing again. You know, you smoke. What? What was it? He's
bird
droppings. He's hallucinating.
No, let me tell you something.
He's hallucinating.
You can smoke bird droppings and it's okay.
Sure. And then what does your breath smell like? I don't know what bird droppings.
You don't care what your breath smells like.
I guess so.
I could see Daoud sitting at home going,
I really want to tell
let me
story.
Smoke some bird droppings because Chris stop. Taylor said to.
Stop.
Okay, all right, I'll stop.
He sees his purpose more clearly when... All right, now here's the deal. I just want to tell you my Jerry story. This is my Jerry story.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, now, I went down... I called up. I've been
you
waiting.
Went down and get down and...
Shut up. I went to... Did you see Medicine Man, by the way?
Mike,
yeah. Oh,
I went and saw Medicine Man.
Right,
I turned around and there was Cousin Brucey.
Was he there?
I told you he was there. He was wearing. No, he was wearing.
He was there with Mei Peng, right?
Yeah. Well, he was. How do you know? Was is that who he's with? Mei Peng?
No, wasn't me.
No, but she's an Oriental woman that he's with. But check this out, right? He sells. He's a spokesman now for a carpet company.
Yeah, right.
Who is?
Cousin Brucey.
He's a spokesman for a
giant carpet or something. Yeah, yeah, right. Giant. And I swear he was wearing that.
Buy more carpet.
He was wearing the carpet on his head. He was wearing like different colored ones. Stop. No, they have the all American rug. Have you seen that red,
these
white, and blue rug?
Are these hallucinations?
He was wearing a red, white, and blue rug on his head.
I was in the movie theater, and it was Cousin Brucey, and he had rug on his head.
He did. Yes. But I'll tell you what was really classic about it. When he came out and got into his limo and left. That's class. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, listen, that's what I do. All right, but listen. Here's my Jerry story. Okay, I've been waiting to get the soundtrack because I thought it was a great track. Okay, Medicine Man, and I've been waiting for like a month. Okay, and I call up this store on Sunday.
What store?
This is a store called Footlight Records. Okay, I asked them if they had Medicine Man, and they said yes. So I said Ace, and I also asked them that, you know, there's a movie coming out Friday called Basic Instinct that everybody's talking about, and Jerry did the score. Okay, and I asked them, do you by any chance happen to have Basic Instinct? And they said yes. So Chris, I go down to the store, right, and I couldn't believe it. Okay. All of these Jerrys, they had like six other Jerry Goldsmith CDs that had just been released this month. Hour of the Gun, King Solomon's Mines, that blew me away. Coma, that blew me away.
I know, Coma, Logan's I Run, I haven't heard Coma in
Logan's
years.
Run, that blew me away. The Wild Rovers, Great Train Robbery, Hoosiers.
I have Hoosiers.
I know, but I've been waiting. It's been out of print for all this time, so.
Has it really?
Yes.
How much were those?
What?
How much money did you spend? How much money did you just spend on those?
You want to know what I spent?
Yes, now, how much money did you
spend? I also bought, let me just let you know.
Wait a second, hold up, man, a second here. Wait a second. I just spent $19 for this thing, and you bought Jerry CDs.
Yes,
and,
I did.
How much money did you just spend?
I can't even tell you. In that case, I definitely won't tell you. I definitely won't tell you.
How much money did you spend?
I can't tell you.
You spent like $200.
No.
You didn't spend that much?
And then there was a period where I didn't have a regular co-host. I had a few people sit in. I had Eugene. I had Keith. And then finally, I found this guy. And if Chris was the Sean Connery, this guy became sort of the Roger Moore. Because he outlasted the original. He was on with me for 8 years.
Gracious.
Who's with us already?
Another week of that son of a bitch Jerome.
Oh, will you stop me? See,
I am so sick.
Well, you know why, Bold Macy? Because you are not enlightened. Now, last chance to get with Jerome Byron.
Hmm?
He leaves on Sunday.
Bye-bye.
He's in New York now. You have to call this number now. Jerome is an enlightened being, unlike Old Macy.
Oh.
Oh! And what's been going on this week is something called Summer Intermission. And there are private sessions available with Jerome where he can sit with you and speak to you.
This was during the whole Jerome period of the spiritual,
these many weeks.
Enlightenment period of Night Shift. You remember this period,
either
Byron?
You get it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're like Byron and Old Macy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, normal.
Stop. Now,
right,
let me just tell you what you do. What did you say? Right on.
Right on to the normal people.
The normal people. Well, those who wish to be para
abnormal.
Above normal.
Paranormal.
Paranormal, that's right. Call Renee.
Jerome's assistant. They only go by first names.
And okay. So, during the Byron era, Byron eventually, mysteriously, just before 9/11, Byron left town. He left the show, and I had to find a new co-host. And then Keith came back a little bit for a little while there too. Keith sort of like a pinch. He's like sort of like a pinch hitting co-host. You know, you bring Keith in, you know, like and he'll punt, you know, and then I was able to get this team going. I got this team going. Brian, in your absence, I got a team. I got a team. And the team was a guy and a girl. I had a guy and a girl. A guy and a girl team because I thought we want to get a little female energy. You know what I'm saying? We want to bring it and change the way Night Shift had been.
Because everybody knows.
We want to take it somewhere.
It's
higher.
My
and I thought
show.
Yes it is, yes it is. But you left, Byron. You left. Sorry. You left town. Yes, and I had to find somebody not only to replace you, but somebody that would bring something to the table.
Well, if you found this gentleman.
No, he was just pinch hitting. He had been here before.
But he came back.
And he didn't come back permanently. He was intermittent. At best, just so he was
there.
He
was still good.
He was intermittent. He was intermittent. Okay. But so anyway, I went on my search for a co-host that would bring something to the table, you know, some skills. Like my original co-host, he, you know, Chris, he had some skills, you know, he had studio skills, he had a recording studio, you know, and you brought like all this Byron-ness and the knowledge. I was listening to a show of you earlier, Byron, and you were really giving some knowledge. You were just the historical man. You were good, Byron. Don't worry, it'll be on the compilation. We'll be, you know, promoting next week on the marathon. Sure. But anyway, so I want you to hear the co-hosts I found, a guy and a girl.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
How does it feel?
It feels like times have changed.
I'm really lucky, you know that?
I'm kidding. It's over in a second.
I want you to get together.
It only happens once a week.
I want you to get to your night shift.
Put your hands. The name of the show.
I want you to get together.
The name of the show.
I shift.
I want you to
the name of the show. Night shift.
Put your hand and open night
shift. The name of the show.
Night shift.
And candy corn for everyone.
Listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the show is Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with a room full. To my right is Joe Masseri.
It seems to get crowded and more crowded every week.
More crowded every week. My partner in crime and
kind
the
like
mall.
My bedroom.
The
hey
mall.
You.
Elena and Padme, you've joined us again.
Right.
And Padme, you brought your new bodyguard.
Yes, I have.
I understand.
That's smart with this crowd.
And Keith.
I'm back.
You've returned. How beautiful. This sort of you beautifully returning on the mountaintop. Well, the name of the show is Night Shift, and the theme of this week's show is Life is Like Science Fiction, which is the overall theme of the show. And part of what makes Life is Like Science Fiction what it is that we live in a world where things, many things that were once seemingly impossible, seem possible. What was once science fiction is now reality. And each week we bring you the stories that bring it strongest to bear. Joe, what are you doing? Joe, what are you doing? You're conferring with T-Dub there.
Yes, we are. We're having a powwow here.
It's along the theme of Night Shift, though, because
it, is,
it
life
deals
is like
technology
fiction.
and what wasn't possible before that's now possible.
I understand. So, and we also have a Night Shift question for you. Joe, for you.
I don't have the answer.
No, I have the Night Shift question for you.
Well, keep it to yourself.
And this is just a question.
It's contagious.
I want to know, what are you afraid of more than anything about the future?
What am I afraid of more than anything? That George Bush Jr. will be elected for a second term.
That's what you're more afraid of than anything.
Than anything
life.
In the world. Because then that just opens up the possibilities for catastrophe.
I understand.
So, you know, it's like that. It's like the dead zone. It's like, I know he wants to push the button.
Exactly, like so, the Martin Sheen character.
Exactly.
I understand. And, Elena? What are you more afraid of than anything about the future?
Oh, you know, Mike.
We can't get a
repeating last
answer.
Weekend?
We can't get a clear answer out of Elena. And Padme?
Yep.
I know you're afraid of something.
Mm-hmm.
What are you more afraid of than
I'm
anything about the future? Seriously.
That there'll be no future.
Good answer, Padme.
I am. I think about it every day.
Do you really? Like reading the paper?
No, I don't read the paper.
I know someone who's collecting articles just about all the violence that men are committing towards women, men against women specifically. And they've been keeping, like, and they just are telling me how, like, every day you can read 2-3 articles a day about a man killing his girlfriend or something.
Did you hear on 1010 Wins News last week?
The love pest? Did you read that story?
No, this was even better than that. A man was arrested in Alabama for using a stun gun on his child. You see, he went to the local supermarket.
On his child.
Local, like,
fast food place, and the guy behind the counter had a stun gun, and he traded him a pack of cigarettes for the stun gun. And what he would did, because his kid was always late for school, he would walk behind him, and when the kid went slow, he would zap him. And he was arrested for it. And, you know, they said for child abuse. And he said, well, what is child abuse? And he said, well, child abuse is when you cause permanent damage to a child, kind of thing. And he says, well, this is not child abuse because the marks go away. And they said, well, how do you know that? Well, you were just using it on him. He said, I traded it on my wife first.
Are you serious?
Yes. Oh, this was on 10-10 Wins.
Oh, I hear you. Well, there it is. God bless America.
There you go.
Well, life is like science fiction. And,
Luddites.
I understand. So you're afraid that there will be no future, Padme. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're afraid of?
That's
a legitimate fear, Padme, I must tell you. And Keith?
It's kind of pretty much on the same grounds as what Joe was saying.
Which is what?
War, you know?
War.
What is it we get for?
What is it? That's what you're more afraid of than anything.
Well,
in the future.
Because I got a young son, and, you know, I don't want to be at war, and my son have to go into that war.
I hear you.
Does anybody in the room still have their draft card, or are we all past that age?
Well, I'm. I know I am. I know I am.
My bodyguard does.
I had a party that day when I realized I was past it. Mm-hmm. But I was. What was the last time that we had that?
I remember it was in high school, and it was got to sign up.
Yeah. Everybody had to get into reserves. It was like, oh my god.
And I remember my dad telling me,
"Go somewhere.
You gotta do your patriotic thing, there, son. Go out there, fill out that card."
What would you have done, Joe, if you were drafted?
Huh?
When
I would have gotten somebody pregnant.
The next flight to Canada.
Oh, Joe, I hear you. Always the man about town.
There you go. Other than being Mel Gibson.
I understand.
We're going to witness now, protection program.
Joe, you have a specific story that I think, you have a couple stories there that exemplify life is like science fiction.
Could you
read one for me?
This one was really... I saw the light on your face as I let you
reviewed
this.
Me yes. Of your story.
Acid clouds of Venus could harbor life.
Talk to me.
Yes. The acid clouds of Venus could in fact be hiding
the
life.
Acid clouds of Venus. That's so like Arthur C. Clarke. Go ahead, I love it.
Unlikely as it sounds, the presence of microbes nearly explain several mysterious observations of the planet's atmosphere. Venus is usually
microbes living in the acid clouds.
Yes.
An acid-based airborne life form.
Yes. Who knew?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Anyway, Venus is usually written off as a potential haven for life because of its hellish, hot, and acidic surface. But conditions in the atmosphere at an altitude of around 50 kilometers are relatively hospitable. The temperature is about 70 degrees Celsius with a pressure of about 1 atmosphere. Although the clouds are very acidic, this region has also the highest concentrator of water droplets in the Venusian atmosphere. From an astrological point of view, Venus is not hopeless, says Dick Schultzmach from the University of Texas
Dick
at El Paso.
Schultzmach.
Yes.
Venus or Regina?
Yes. Hey. That can get, you know, that's pretty acidic. And
there's some microbes living in there, let me tell you.
Stop it.
A few droplets.
There you go. To look for possible signs of life, Schultzmach and his colleagues, Lewis Irwin, look at existing data on Venus from the Russian Venera space mission, Venus and Magellan probes. They notice some peculiar things about the chemical composition of Venus's atmosphere.
Told you.
Solar radiation and lightning should produce large quantities of carbon monoxide in the planet's atmosphere. And it is scarce. So something is removing it. They also found hydrogen sulfide. Two gases react with each other and are never normally found together.
Is that a vagina or what? Come on.
Exactly. Yes, so there you go. There you go, my friend. Life on Mars.
That's interesting.
Well, well, Venus.
That's Venus interesting. Definitely life on Mars. Didn't think so before, but now.
So now, but the acid clouds of
the acid clouds of Venus
to Wall Street, which is where we are now, 120 Wall Street. And I used to say, if you remember, here at the edge of the city.
Kind of, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And we will no longer be at the edge of the city.
We're going uptown.
We're going uptown. Uptown. So this is probably the last regular night shift show ever.
From this location.
From this location.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. And Keith, are you there? Are you still here, Keith?
Of course.
Keith is still here.
Right here, sitting amongst us.
So, Byron, what did you think of the Joe era?
What a question.
I liked when they overlap because Byron used to bring fresh fruit.
Yes, he did.
He was the fruit man.
He was.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I missed that whole era.
You missed that whole era.
And he
was kind of like a Carmen Miranda. He would wear it in and sachet.
And the natural nuts. And
yes.
Unroasted nuts and fruit.
I won't even touch that one. All right, so you are tuned to Listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. And
look at me now.
The way we're going to be able to do this and the numbers we're going to give and all of that, this is it.
This is the last night shift show. Can you believe it?
Have you been waiting for this, Byron? Secretly?
Yes, secretly.
Byron, you've been waiting for this show to be over?
The show's not over.
Did I not give anyone the impression?
This is the end.
Did I not ask to be on the show? Yes.
Who sings that? David Bowie?
The Doors.
Oh, The Doors. I'd like to see David Bowie do a version. I think he could. It's in his range. What do you think?
Could be.
I know it is in his range. I like David Bowie.
Joe Massiri. So, Keith. Yes, Keith, sir. Brown, how are you? I'm glad you could make it here for the
final show. Yeah,
well,
this is a momentous occasion.
I feel like the cruise director on the Titanic.
Joe Massiri, you have not changed. You know, but I will say there was a lot of dynamism to the shows that we were doing.
Well, part of the reason, you came in with some dynamism. Part of the reason
is that
at least back when I started doing the show with you guys,
you were young.
I didn't need glasses.
Ah.
So, but the voice.
You're allergic.
It's funny.
To
you and Chris.
Red Knox 5.
I can tell Chris is not doing his meds these days.
Okay.
Because he's not as crisp and
on
point.
He's not as crisp.
And as on
as
point.
As he was.
And you can tell that he needs to change the batteries in his magic mirror. Because the mirror on the wall ain't telling him like it used to be no more.
I understand. Mirror on the wall is like.
You know, and like he used to see the young, beautiful
mirror,
woman.
Mirror
in there.
On the wall ain't telling him at all.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. I'm with that. All right.
It's like instead of seeing the beautiful, you know, androgynous spirit, he's like seeing Fyvis Finkel in the mirror.
No, I don't even know who Fyvis Finkel is.
He's a famous New York actor. He was in.
Fyvis Finkel?
Fyvis Finkel. He was in the original.
Keith, have you heard of Fyvis Finkel?
Come on. Where is. Like.
Byron. Mr. History.
He was the original Mr. Muchnick in the production of
the original Mr. Muchnick
in Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay,
wow, that's obscure.
And then you say that like everybody knows.
And then he was on what TV show was it? He was on some TV show. He found notoriety. He was on there for a while too.
All right, okay. All right, well, you have to school me because I really don't know. But I know certain things. Like I watched some movie recently, some modern film, and the character called himself Forrest Ackerman.
Modern film for you?
In the last 2 years. You know what Sean Connery would say?
Do you know what he would come out in retirement and say to you?
Exactly. See, that's a night shift-ism.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And some of this music, like this song you're playing right now.
Right, of course.
That feels very...
Classic.
This is classic night shift music.
Exactly.
It's been played probably hundreds of times over a period of decades.
There it is.
This sounds like Art of Noise.
No, it's actually Ryuichi Sakamoto.
Oh, okay.
This is...
The Last Emperor.
The Last Emperor.
Sounds a little bit like that Art of Noise piece.
Yeah, definitely. That sound, that...
I'm loving it.
...instrument.
It's a nice retro.
All right, so, Joe Masseri, so part you were explaining the dynamism, please. I would like to know
the
part
dynamism.
Of that. Yes, you said part of that was, and well, you got sidetracked. What's explain the dynamism to me.
Well, I think it's a lack of the host to keep the dynamic fresh and...
a lack of the host to keep the dynamic fresh.
Well, you know, Chris got old and...
Thank you.
Elena got hairier and yes, Padme went
Elena,
away.
And I don't know why Elena's not even here. And Padme, yes.
She should... like
Padme.
You should have sent out an email blast. At least people could call in.
Well, you know, people can't call in. The phone number's back. 212-209-2900.
2900,
that's correct.
Look
you
at
can
that.
Call in and...
Humming. I'm easy.
I
this sounds like I'm easy.
Yeah.
Like a Sunday.
It's Byron and Joe.
And Keith.
And Keith. At the picnic.
It's an honor. It's
top
pleasure.
Of the hill.
Yes.
It's a sunny day.
Moving in slow motion.
Pass the mustard. So.
I like the odds of that.
You like the odds of what? Like that we'd be going to picnic on a hill?
And yes, the whole thing.
The whole
it's thing. It's a lovely image.
The yeah, whole enchilada.
I'm with that. Byron, I have the story back for you that you didn't get to talk about. Okay. The week. That you wanted, I also have that for you. Just so you know, I have that for you.
Just so just you know.
And I have to say, I have a series of things I wanted to talk about here on the show. I meant to print it out. I had to bring my laptop.
Serious things or a series?
A series of things. Okay.
Is there potentially enough time in the compressed microcosm that is Night Shift
to
cover all these topics?
First of all, we are going to compress time. Keep that in mind. And...
We just compressed the time.
There it is.
By using compressed gas.
Hello, you're on the air. Who is this?
No, first of all.
Oh no. I thought you were taking a sabbatical. What's your problem? Get out of here. You can't even be true to yourself.
I'm old. What is that supposed to mean?
It made him call it. What? He got out of his, chair that he never gets out of.
It worked, Joe. You coerced him. You coerced him on the show.
He sounds like your grandfather, the raving old lunatic sitting on the porch.
Wait, he says whatever he says in your... because he cocked his shotgun.
It's like Joe just threw me under the bus. Yeah, Chris is old in the cup.
Chris, I didn't say anything like that, man.
Chris is old.
To quote...
That's what he said. Let me tell you this.
Too
he's like
all
he's,
these articles and
he's off his meds
just
again.
Just talk about what you did this week, what's on your mind, what's happening.
All right, here's what I want to talk about. I'll tell you what I have a bunch of things I want to talk about.
Yeah,
bunch of things. I do. First of all,
thing.
It doesn't matter. Who cares what you have to say? Who are you?
About whether you got the Jerry Goldsmith CD and how much money you spent while I was arguing with you because you probably owed me some money or something, and that's why I was saying you spent $200.
I swear to God, it's like being at the old age home kind of thing, just before bedtime.
Exactly. We're all in a circle of wheelchairs, pointing at each other with our cane.
You owe me money, and I remember when you got my CD and you never gave it back. Well, you did take my CD.
But we get together every day and listen to old episodes of the show.
Exactly.
And critique them. There it is. I can see us.
You want to know something, though?
What?
I have
things to give away, by the way.
I know. But because we're all here together.
I'm giving things away.
Somebody took that idea, you know.
What idea?
Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
They were getting together talking. At some point, they talked, well, when we're old men kind of thing.
Yes.
He's got a new show coming out. They all play old men in a nursing home. Kind of in makeup kind of thing, like as if they were older, reminiscing and dealing
reminiscing.
With this.
Okay,
exactly.
Okay, I like that. That's great.
So,
that's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
Ricky Gervais is like a British
He's tapped. He's listening to our show.
He is us. He does what we do.
He is. He's ripping us off.
All right, I have a question for you, Joe.
Yes.
Or Byron. Or Keith. Or Chris. Who the hell is Kaylee Cuoco? Or Cuoco?
You mean the guy who perpetuated
No, some...
girl that keep. Who is she? Who
I don't I know. The,
I see her name, Kaylee Coco.
The one that was involved with that.
I have no idea.
She seems to be the football player.
Why are you even talking about her?
I just keep. Every time I keep seeing her name, I'm wondering, like, is there something I'm missing? All right. Anyway.
Well,
I don't have a TV,
so you're missing a lot.
I guess. That's what I wonder. I feel like, report to me from the real world.
You don't know what's going on in the world.
It's like a 2013 Lindsay Wagner.
I have no idea. All right. I have two DVDs to give away, just so you know, and I want to get to that. But, basically, the show is this is actually the kind of show that Chris wants it to be, because what we're going to do in this show is we're going to talk about doing the show.
Yes.
Why we've done it, what we've, you know, just doing the show, okay?
Well, that's great, because I have a question for Keith right off the bat.
All right, wait. Calm yourself.
Keith, how was California?
It was good.
What'd you do?
Who'd you see? Where'd you go to eat? Who'd you date? Did you go to any strip clubs?
Exactly.
What did you do?
How was the guacamole?
California trip.
I hung with my kids.
Well, okay, all right.
Did you go to Disneyland?
He's a boring guy.
Did you go to Disneyland?
He took it.
You got some dirt on me, Chris?
He hung out with his
He's got satellite pictures. He was using his Google Earth.
He took his kids.
I'm excited about going out there, so I know you hooked up with some woman out there, somebody you met.
That's right. He took his kids to the strip club and picked up.
You don't want to talk about it.
Here it is. All right, so, okay. Can I go on to talk about
that's when you live up in the mountains.
He's outing me.
First of all, I just want to say this is all stuff from life, and these are things that I've been thinking and about doing the show and coming here. And you know, when we started doing the show here, it was 3:30 to 6 a.m.
I remember.
And so we could see the sun rise over.
Used to go to work from here.
Yes, yes. And I remember that. I have fond memories of that. And so that's part of the reminiscing, part of just things that are going on in my life. Some things I came across. I'm working on a documentary. And I have to say, I have uncovered very strange information. And I'll impart some here on the show.
Mike realizes he is a bad boy.
No. All right. Can I just tell you, there's a site. Okay, called justbadboys.com. Okay? It's for women who want to date bad boys, right? Now, if you, of course, as a bad boy, want to register to be one of the bad boys to be dated, they have a test for you to take to determine.
And you have to be honest.
To determine if you're a bad boy. Okay? All right, can I read a couple of the questions to you?
Why would you? You're just better off dating, writing love letters to guys in prison.
I'm just saying, just.
That's a good point, Joe.
You want to know what the first... What,
at least they can't come and put a hurting on you.
You're actually prescient, because one of the sites I've come across is of just that. They are sites just for dating men who are in prison. Called Prison Pals.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'd like to have just friends that are in prison.
That's like adopting a child through, who's in Ethiopia somewhere or something.
I really would like to date women that are in prison.
With tattoos and piercings. There are three sites, top three sites, prisoninmates.com, meetaninmate.com. That's meet-an-inmate. And
Chris is for some reason right now.
Some reason inmate is spelled wrong. But anyway.
Because they're inmates.
Inmate.com.
Is it supposed to be meetaprimate.com?
It says meetrobert.com. Anyway. And then there's convictpenpals.com.
Well, there you go.
There it is. You can meet the person.
Do they just have guys or do they have women too?
They have women too.
Chris, get on that, because you're up in the hinterlands where they have the prisons here.
Yeah, hinterlands. All right. So can I just read to you the first question?
Yeah.
If to take for the bad boy test? First. Okay. Here's the first question. How many women do you have kids with?
Two.
And you want to know the four answers they give? It's multiple choice.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
I have a few baby mamas. Or four, don't know. Okay. All right. Here's the next question. How many mobile phones do you own?
Oh, that's great.
First question, one. Second answer, two, work and play. Three or more, work and play, and one for every girl. How many girlfriends do you have? Three answers. None, I'm looking for the one. Two, I have girls, not girlfriends. Three, in the words of Ludacris, I have hoes in different area codes.
That's just not right.
I swear. This is the last question I'll read to you. Question number four. Have you ever slept with a girlfriend's mother, sister, daughter, or friend? There
and
it is.
There you have it.
JustBadBoys.com. Now, here's the most interesting part of the whole thing. This site is in the UK.
Well, come on. You've seen Guy Ritchie films.
Yeah, but come on. Is that the deal?
You know, I mean, how many good guys have you ever seen in a Guy Ritchie film?
You know, is he the only person making films? You know, I mean,
no, I'm just taking...
Well,
know.
Look what he did with Sherlock Holmes lately. You know, made him all kind of badass.
Yeah, well, Sherlock Holmes was always, you know, kind of a drugged out, you know,
exactly.
kind of thing. He was kind of, you know, the what I would call the drug addict bad boy. But, you know, there it is. There it is. So, do you want to know about the, well, you know something, Joe?
No, I know nothing whatsoever. That's why I'm here. I'm to be edumacated.
I want to know what's going on in your life now, Joe. What do you want to tell me?
I want to ask Joe. I actually want to ask him something.
What? Go ahead.
What did you think of the new Chainsaw movie?
Actually, they didn't screen it for anybody. And at one point, somebody would have taken to see the movie with me was like, we don't have to go see that, do we? In fact, I could have seen it for free at one point, and I was like, you know what? Life's too short for bad movies.
Life's too short for bad movies.
Well, what's the guy who directed the original?
You should get that domain.
The Way Way original one?
Toby Hooper, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
He says it's great.
Well, you know what? When you're his, like, he's like John, he's trying
Toby
to get on that.
Toby Hooper said what was great?
The new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Toby Hooper.
Toby is trying to do
great.
The John Carpenter
like,
thing.
I'll get paid.
John Carpenter will
go
sell
see it.
Will sell his movie rights to the highest bidder.
He already did. He's a horror film director. He sold his soul to the devil.
How many remakes have been made? Plus, what his thing is like? It's X amount of dollars plus a carton of cigarettes. That's John Carpenter's deal. So, and he will go see the screening as long as there isn't a Lakers game on. So,
well, he clearly cares.
He was at a convention signing recently, and he disappeared for a while because there was a game on, and he went up to his room to watch the game, kind of
really,
thing.
He left the convention.
Took his cart.
I could see that.
Took his carton of cigarettes and went up and smoked himself.
There it is. He will.
There you go.
Speaking of Hooper, what was that movie he did about the space vampires? What was that?
Oh, Life Force.
Life Force. Oh my God, it's so bad.
Come on, Toby Hooper. You know, after you see Poltergeist, then you see anything else he did. You go, did he really direct Poltergeist? Come on. You see Poltergeist, and then you just go. You go back, you can watch every Toby Hooper film, and then go back and watch Poltergeist.
He was probably drunk in his sleep in his trailer, and Steven Spielberg going,
I mean,
oh, well, not again. I'm just producing this film.
I heard that Hooper was an alcoholic and that he kind of like came in his benders and he couldn't really... directed, so Spielberg did direct.
Well, you see, I've heard variations on that, and I've always heard that somehow Spielberg really directed it. And then I heard, blah, 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 Toby Hooper. You know, people who say Chainsaw was brilliant.
Well, Salem's Lot was brilliant.
Toby Hooper?
Salem's Lot. It's Toby Hooper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Toby Hooper. All right, well,
that's a great movie.
That's what he should be doing.
Well, did you ever see, he did a movie a few years ago called Mortuary. Which was actually pretty good. It was like he was drying out, so it was a return to his former.
He was drying out.
Yes, it was.
I've been drying out. So, like Nick Nolte.
Exactly.
He was drying out. Now he comes back. He's so raspy now you can't understand what he says. He's like, you're like, what, Nick? What'd you say? You know?
Nick Nolte.
It's like that character Crazy Carl from Plants vs. Zombies.
Exactly. I have no idea. I've seen two films with him recently, and I had to strain to understand what he was saying.
It sounded like that guy from, Fat Albert? You know,
Mushmouth,
yeah.
Exactly.
That was supposed to be jive talk.
I don't think that was jive talk.
All right, so can I tell you the DVDs that I'm giving away?
What are you giving away?
I'm giving away.
Who is
and you
giving
saw the
us
movie.
To give them away?
Right, who is giving us? Okay.
To give them away.
Image Entertainment.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Image Entertainment.
Thank you, Image.
They're giving us copies
Send
of
more stuff.
All Superheroes Must Die. And I actually have an interview with the directors.
You got to play that.
I'm going to play
that. I watched
that.
It. It was good.
The writer-directors of All Superheroes Must Die. But I'm giving away the DVD. Okay. Wow. And then I have a special surprise towards the second hour of the show. Wow. I'm giving away only...
What? It's 3 minutes away from the second hour.
Yes, it's 3 minutes. All right, so there it is. Then that's when it'll be.
Sometime in the second hour.
Sounds better. Sounds better, doesn't it? I thought it sounded better.
Stay tuned, because you don't know when. Mike has no itinerary.
I do have an itinerary.
It's fluid.
I'm looking at my itinerary.
Whereas when Mike calls me up on the phone, itinerary.
So what is the theme, Mr. Sergeant?
Byron, you missed it.
Yes, you gave it?
I gave it.
Did Byron go to the bathroom or something?
Byron went to the bathroom.
Joe, I want to hear about John Carpenter. Is he like broke or something? Is that what you're saying?
He actually lives in a part of Texas that's similar to the northern part of New York that you live in. Uh-huh. In a similar kind of... He has pods on his lot with film and stuff like
that.
On his lot like Chris does. And he has long white hair. I think the only difference between you and John Carpenter is, like, you don't smoke.
And so, he doesn't have white hair.
He doesn't have
so you can just bring John Carpenter, like, I could go find him, that could be my movie.
He could be, like, John Carpenter's son.
He could be the old John... could be, like, the old Chris sitting on the porch recounting the tale.
Yes! Chris plays the young John Carpenter. There it is.
There you go.
Hopefully, well, Chris has a little bit... has some talent, but John Carpenter doesn't have talent anymore. Wow. As far as I can see.
What about Walter Hill? He's directing. I'm going to be giving tickets away for this new Walter Hill film with Sylvester Stallone. I can tell you, I will talk to you about Stallone.
Bullet to the head?
Bullet to the head.
The real Bullet to the head cannot be as good as the real Bullet to the head. It's not possible.
You read the comic?
I'm talking about the film, right? Bullet to the head?
Yeah, Bullet to the Head is based on a graphic novel. You know that, right?
Oh, I thought it was based on the movie.
No, the guys who wrote the novel.
You're thinking Bullet in the Head. This is Bullet to the Head. Bullet to the Head. This is Stallone.
Ask 66. Me if I'm going to see it.
Are you?
You're going to go, Byron. I mean, Joe, you got to go.
Huh?
Go with
That's
me.
A folding laundry watch.
Where are we going? So when are we going?
Thank you. We're going on Wednesday, Byron.
You know, Saturday when you're doing your chores and you got like a
next week, I'll be giving away tickets.
You can miss half of it. Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Listen to Joe.
That's a great quote, Joe.
Oh, yeah. That was very funny.
You love new film if you want to do your laundry.
Perfect for passing time while you're folding your laundry.
Or cutting your toenails or something.
And picking your toes
and Poughkeepsie. No, I feel the same way. I'm done with Saw. I'd rather watch Rambo.
Listen to me. You know, I watched Rocky over the weekend, and I haven't seen it since it came out. Okay, since it came out. I only saw it once, and I never saw any of the other Rocky films.
This is my turtles, Cuff
and Link. I never did, yeah. You know, and watching it, I kind of get... It. I remember the cause célèbre he was. They thought he was the new Brando when he hit, you know. And in that film, you can see everything that works about Stallone and everything that doesn't work.
Everything that doesn't work.
You know, he's got this thing where he... No. You know, and I mean, I've kind of grown to like him. He's been around so long that you're like, all right, you're still here. And he holds some record now, they said, of being the only actor... to star in films for over five decades now, because wow. Now we're into 13. Anyway.
You mean like as
the star, not like supporting.
Above the title.
Yeah, above the title. Star.
Did you ever see that remake of Get Carter he did?
I heard it was horrible.
Oh, man. He had just had face surgery done.
It was terrible.
It was.
He's got to hang in there.
It was hideous. He looked bad. He looked like the Frankenstein monster.
I thought his best performance was in Copland. I thought he was really
Copland was good.
Copland was good. Look, he made three good films. But I'll say this: I watched Rocky.
He made three good films out of his 100.
Listen to me, Cobra. Here's the thing about Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone's career. Let me quote Meatloaf. Two out of three ain't bad.
Let me say this. Yeah. He wrote or co-wrote most of his films.
You could tell the dialogue.
Stop. Stallone made plenty of money. He was hugely successful.
It's like Dick and Jane Rita.
Say what you want about
Stallone.
See
Rocky run.
Say what you want.
See Rocky run up steps.
Look at him.
Rocky puts his arms in the air. Look at what he is.
How many Rocky movies did he end up doing? Like
first of all, he did six. No, he did six. But
he did like 10 of them.
He did six.
And I heard something that they're talking about another one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, no, that's not what it is. No, no, here's what it is. Here's what it is. First of all, I love this. Okay. First of all, Byron,
please.
Let me say this. Last 50 years,
he's
what did you say
do,
are the.
He's going to do an Expendable Meets Rocky, man. He's going to play two parts.
Can I
he's gonna
tell
do
you
Rocky
something?
Stop.
He's stupid, man, like the evil Kirk. Anyway, can I finish? Can I finish?
Did they have to all pay him twice?
Shut up, Byron. I mean, shut up. Joe fired all of you. Oh, shut up, all of you.
Be quiet.
No. You know. Anyway.
I think simulated gun violence is in poor taste.
I think that you, sir, are out of order. All right. Can I finish what I was saying?
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, well, we can't wait.
Okay.
I'm
lactating
with anticipation.
Last 50 years, what would you say are the top two boxing films last 50 years?
Whoa. Boxing films?
Whoa.
In the last 50 years. 50 years.
Body and Soul.
Hurricane.
Rocky.
Rocky. What about you, Myron?
Rocky and Russia.
Rocky? No.
That was number three.
None of his films, just boxing films, period. The great boxing films of the last 50 years.
The Great White Hope? Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, do you throw Raging Bull in there?
Raging Bull. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how you couldn't say Raging Bull. Anyway, Rocky, Raging Bull, okay? Who would win, Rocky against Raging Bull? Well, check it out. Stallone and De Niro are doing a film about two aging boxers who get one last chance in the ring. It's called Grudge Match. I swear to you.
Who's going to believe?
And it's got Alan Arkin in it. It's got Kim Basinger in it. Okay. And it's got, what's his name? Kevin Hart plays.
Rebecca De Mornay?
Rebecca De No More. Rebecca De No More.
Well, and it should have Mickey Rourke in it, too. What was that wrestling movie?
Oh, right.
That was a great film.
It was.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm swearing. This film is in production now.
But De Niro's going to have to get in shape.
Well,
he hasn't been in shape for like 30 years.
He could do it.
He got man moves.
It's not 30 years.
He got man moves.
Since Cape Fear. He has not been in shape.
Not since Cape Fear, yeah.
He's going to have to be doing the juice that Stallone does.
I'll be getting better. Yeah, just bend over. Let me stick this in your ass.
De Niro is older than Stallone, isn't he?
Stallone turned Travolta into a buff dancer for Staying Alive. You remember? And Stallone didn't have a body like. I mean, Travolta didn't have a body like that before or after Staying Alive, and that was all. Stallone,
it was like one of the worst movies he ever made.
I thought it was the Dianetics.
Doesn't matter. And anyway, so I just say that Stallone has, you know, milked it.
Yo, De Niro, come here. Let me give you the juice.
He's taken it as far as you could go. To the point now where I'm down. I'm down to see.
I want to introduce you to Lance Armstrong. He's got something for you.
Yeah, I love the Expendables, too. I loved it.
I mean, well, what I'll say about it is that that is a comeback.
It was, the whole thing is a comeback. It's all him. He created his own
comeback. It's called juice.
He creates his own comeback. Come on now. You cannot respect that.
You know, and I read Schwarzenegger's book, and he talks about for a long time, he and Stallone had this sort of rivalry. But they had a rivalry at first.
Of course, and Stallone talks about it now because I've been reading all this stuff on Stallone. I started reading, you know, because I'm doing this bullet to the head promotion. I started, you know, you're a stupid man. I started reading all this stuff on Stallone, and I got to say, he's an impressive guy. He's impressive. It's impressive what he's doing.
Do you want to be his friend or something?
Yeah, sure. I would love to see
him. You know, you're
trying to get some free CDs.
Byron, you know who's...
No, I'm giving away tickets to Bullet to the Head, you fool.
Next week. You know what's more impressive than Stallone and Schwarzenegger and all those guys?
First of all, I was never a fan. I never saw any of the other
Aaron
Rocky
Neville.
Films.
You know how old Aaron Neville is?
72.
Whoa.
Very good, Byron.
We were just having this conversation.
Mike, let me say
I want to look like him at his age. Never mind Stallone and Schwarzenegger.
Amazing how he is so, you know, how he's always able to recreate the new level. He's always recreating. And you got to give him, like, five decades. We should be so honored.
I respect somebody more like a Clint Eastwood, though.
Listen, Clint is the ultimate man.
Torino.
You know, there's no comparison with Stallone and Clint Eastwood. But you know what? I'll say this. You know, Stallone has written, produced, directed his own films, made successful films. It doesn't matter what the critics says. It doesn't matter what we think of them. They made a lot of money. He did films.
Wait,
he has created characters.
Right?
Listen to me. Listen to me. He has created characters that have become part of the culture.
You mean Rambo and Rocky?
Rambo and Rocky. That alone is a career. That if he did nothing else.
I know they haven't, because anyone under 20 probably doesn't even know who Rocky is.
I disagree.
That's true.
I disagree.
Unless they're from Howard Beach.
I disagree. Rocky is a... If you like boxing films... Now, you may not... If you don't care about film, okay... Period, or movies, period.
But whether
not.
You care about him or not, it's still going to be part of the culture.
It is part of the culture.
Stallone is the cinematic Elvis Presley.
I mean, who does it? You don't have to see a Clint Eastwood movie to know who he is.
To know who he is now. To know who he is now and what he's doing now. I'm sure Stallone will be directing films long past the time that anybody could really want to put a camera on him. You know, he'll be directing.
But you know what's the difference between Eastwood and Stallone? This was actually a good director. Stallone is like the world's worst director.
Well, I'll say this. If you see the first Expendables, the only stuff that's good, stuff that's good is the action. The action is actually good. The dialogue and the other stuff, all the, you know, all the stuff that he considers.
I don't think he considers character development. Actually, compared to a lot of Korean and Chinese directors, I think he's bad with good action.
Yes.
I don't think he compares.
Yes.
Okay.
He's okay for an American.
Okay.
Redemption.
Okay. All right.
Oh my God.
Listen. I'm not putting him in the class of anything like that.
I think you should lower it about as low as it can go.
I'm not saying anything like that. All I'm saying is here's a guy. Listen to
you. At best,
you know. Thank God. And
Mike's just comparing himself to him, so he.
I will not have you on the show next week.
Stallone works with,
I'll put personals up against the Stallone film anytime.
When Stallone works with decent directors, yeah, it's a lot better. When he did the Rambo films, I don't think he directed any of them, right?
Well, except for the last one. The only good one is the first
Tango and Cash is Mike's favorite.
That's I can't believe. Like I had by that time, Tango and Cash and Cobra were it for me. I saw both of those, and I was like, I will never see another Stallone film, you know. And then somehow I saw Judge Dredd, and I actually appreciated that he and Wesley were having such a good time.
No, you got it mixed up.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Demolition Man. Demolition Man. Oh, Judge.
Like, they were so similar.
Demolition Man was good.
To Judge Dredd, though. It was like same future.
It was like, Stallone was like, you know, I don't even make good inside.
I actually think the new Judge Dredd is better than Stallone's.
No, listen, we can tease Stallone, whatever, but a guy who's got, you know, he's not exactly what you call classically good looking, you know, and... He's not the most, you know,
articulate.
You know, he's actually a lot more articulate than some of the characters he plays, but it's because of the way he speaks and you know his
he's made everything work. For
he's
himself.
Made everything
he's,
work for himself.
He's turned every
yes,
flaw
he has.
Into like
yes,
you can't
he has.
Tell how tiny
well, Schwarzenegger
he is.
Did the same kind of thing. You know,
yes,
with that
he
name
did. Yes, he did.
Accent.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And you know what? So you got to at a certain point. You know, a lot of great actors have come and gone. A lot of quote-unquote great directors have come and gone. A lot of, you know, again, this is Walter Hill. I hope it's good.
I mean, look at John Wayne.
But John Wayne
was not a great actor, but he was involved with a lot of great films.
Yeah, look at True Grit. You're like, he won an Oscar for that.
The Searchers, I mean...
Yeah. No, I mean, he knew his range. He knew his range, and he stayed in his range, and he did it good. In my opinion.
And people liked him, like John Ford, you know, like cast him and playing that John Wayne role.
And Stallone realizes that too. I mean, he's tried to do other things. He tried to do comedies and he tried to do stuff. And you don't really want to laugh at Stallone. You want to see him kill people. Or beat people up. I mean, now, again, I was never a big Stallone fan. You know, I'm only now kind of coming to like, okay, I can appreciate.
I think Rocky is his greatest role. I mean,
I like First Blood better.
When he
than
was
Rocky.
Actually appealing.
Honestly, I thought First Blood was his best film because he hardly spoke throughout the entire film.
No, his best film was Men in Black because he's on a TV screen in that one. He is. They say he's an alien or something on the TV screen in Men in Black. You didn't know that, did you?
But yeah, I do admire his ambition.
I know everything on Stallone.
You know, the director staying alive. I mean, it wasn't a good film, but the fact that he was a director for hire, a writer for hire. That was pretty amazing.
He did Spy Kids. I mean, he came, you know, and did a lower budget film.
Yes, he did.
And
now listen,
you know.
listen, I have to play this interview, and I'm going to tell you what you do if you want to get the DVD.
Tell us, Mike.
All superheroes must die. Also, first of all, I want Joe to give the review because Joe is interesting because All Superheroes Must Die is essentially a low-budget superhero movie.
Okay? An independent.
Independent. I shouldn't say low-budget. Independent superhero movie.
It's not low-budget?
Well,
it's low budget. Comes with the connotations of being independent.
Right. Exactly.
But it has... It's pretty impressive.
No.
All right. It is an independent film.
Yes.
Okay.
$5 million.
I shouldn't have said low budget. It's an independent film.
$10 million.
Stop. It's an independent film. You judge for yourself when you see it. It's an independent film. But essentially, it's a comic book. It's a superhero movie. You know, and the genre now has been... Well, exactly. Genre now has been around long enough. So superhero movies are an official genre of film. Just like a Western.
Right.
Okay.
I call it a subgenre, but okay.
Okay. You could call it a subgenre.
Under adventure.
You know, adventure is a big... You know, that encompasses a lot. Adventure. Yes, it's an adventure. But, you know, I consider it a superhero film. And a superhero film... that is about superheroes who have defeated this villain, or so they thought. The villain was not defeated. He came back and debilitated everybody, it stripped them of their powers and starts killing them one by one.
That's like Watchmen.
Well, it's similar in that thematically, in that, and I'm just painting in the very broadest stroke.
But not the grand agenda that it had it was trying to do.
Not the grand agenda. That's a good
question. Is it contemporary?
Yes.
Ah, very, very contemporary. Very contemporary. Yes. And the writer and director, okay, and editor, mm-hmm. okay, is the star. And it's very
interesting. As well as the co-writer.
As well as the co-writer.
That doesn't always work.
It definitely does. The movie's called All Superheroes Must Die. And it's a really interesting film. So I'm going to let you hear the interview. And if you want a DVD free, okay, and keep in mind, I have other stuff to give away next week, but it's all going to be part of pledging. So this way, free, you have to email me. lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com.
Now, Mike, do they have All Superheroes Must Die action figures?
You know, that's a good question. Hello, who's here? Person? Yes, hello.
I'm speaking to a person?
Yes, you are.
Oh, Mike's on the air. I want to talk to him.
Talk to Mike? Let me see if Mike is available.
Yeah, I do.
Hold on a second.
He is hysterical.
Well, you know, he's not available right now, but do you have a message for him or anything?
No, don't tell me that. Do I have to wait? Can I wait?
You could wait, but we're going to be playing a 7-minute interview.
How long?
7 minutes.
Okay, I'll wait.
You'll wait. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
She's so sweet.
You tune to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI, and I'm speaking with the multi-hyphenates of a new film called All Superheroes Must Die, Jason Trost and Lucas Till. Jason, Lucas, welcome to WBAI.
Yeah, thank you. How you doing?
My first question is really for both of you, and I'll ask you first, Jason. When did you first know you wanted to be a storyteller?
When I was 4 years old, when I saw the movie Terminator 2, and it had a very, very emotional, long-lasting effect on me, and ever since then, I've always known that's what I wanted to do.
And what about you, Lucas?
I was too small to play football, and needed something to do, so I tried out acting a little bit. Certainly, I really had nothing to do. I had done, like, plays and stuff when I was a kid. About around age 10, I started doing it and making a little money, and then I was like, oh, well, I didn't know I could do both. I could have fun and make money at this young, and, really kind of went from there.
Then I'll go back to you, Jason. What, in your opinion, makes a good story and a story worth telling?
I always think the things that make a good story worth telling are always characters and, of course, just... there has to be heart in it. Like, at the end of the day, when people ask me what are the best movies in the theater, and it's always where it's like, the movies that emotionally touch me. Like, I'll give movies a pass, even if they screw up in certain other things, that they, you know, touch you emotionally or connect you with the story. It's always just character development and just heart for me is always king.
And what about you, Lucas?
Relatability. That seems a little more mathematical of an answer than Jay's. But it is true. I mean, it's something that everyone can kind of relate to. I mean, we could all rag on our romantic comedies, but someone out there really does relate to that and can laugh about it, myself included. But I think it's just telling a story that someone can identify with and maybe give them a little entertainment, information, persuasion to go do something they wouldn't normally necessarily do.
First, tell me how you two ended up meeting and working together. And then, Jason, I want you to tell me, like, the genesis of All Superheroes Must Die. How did that story first come to you?
First, how we met was... I've known about Lucas since he was like 12 because he worked with my brother and sister on Lightning Bug. Meet each other until a Rob Hall film called Laid to Rest. We both worked on that movie. And then after that, he moved out to L.A. and he didn't really have any friends out there. And just kind of were forced to be friends with each other. Even when he said it like that.
Do you concur, Jason?
I definitely concur.
Then, Jason, tell me what was the original germ of the idea for All Superheroes Must Die and how it grew into what we know as the film that I've seen?
The original germ of the idea was I always loved the ideas of making one-night 80s action movies. It's one of my favorite movies there are. And I was like, well, I always want to do a superhero movie. And how, like, what is the one-night 80s action movie, superhero movie? And I was just bored on set. I was working as a grip one day on a music video, and I was like, I wonder if you've heard the idea of Running Man with a superhero, how that would work out. Because the whole thing is, mainly, I get really bummed out now with superhero movies that they spend half of the movie getting an origin story or the same one over and over again. So it's like, what if we do a superhero movie that's not an origin story, found into this, where it just needs to take place in these characters' lives and see what happens.
How did he first bring this to you, Lucas, and what was your take on the story?
Even thinking about the idea, and finally, really, one night, for whatever reason, it had clicked in his brain, and then he was like, I've got it. I've got the whole thing. I mean, literally, it took you like a weekend to write it, right, Jack? Stupid timeline with the movie, because we had to make the whole thing in like 2 months before Lucas potentially was going to leave for X-Men forever. As you can tell, Jay does everything and never sleeps, and I am quite the opposite. A lot of something else, but man, he really has that drive, and he came up with this idea, and I mean, execution, good. That was probably a week from him coming up with the idea and revising it and everything, and it was pretty much a script shot. But I remember him talking to me about this idea, and I was, I think maybe more dumbfounded at the fact that he had done it so fast.
Now, clearly you had, like, only X amount of time to put this together because of everybody's schedules and whatnot. What did you shoot it on? And then tell me about what made you decide to edit it. Was it just cost, or was it, like, you knew what was in your head you had to do it?
I mean, it all comes down to cost. And we shot the thing on the Canon 1D, which is just one of those digital SLR cameras.
Yes.
And just because the low light was great, and we're going to shoot this whole movie at night, and we're going to do mostly available light. We had no money, really, to light things. Like, basically, the DP of Manitrade was the whole entire grip and electric department, with the exception of us kind of helping her push life around sometimes if we were free. But, like, the whole thing was just, we had no money, no time, and it was the only way to shoot it.
And how many days did you shoot?
Oh, we shot for 15 days.
What has been the response to the film? How rewarding has that been?
I mean, it seems pretty much 50-50. Either people get it, or they think it's the worst movie ever made. And I kind of like that reaction, because the worst thing is spending all this time on a movie and then having someone just be like, it's okay. So one way or another, I'm either ruining their day or I'm making their day. So pretty much what it's all about.
Did you do any kind of training?
There's a good moment, and Jay, I'm sure, will back me up. We had one scene, it was like one of the last scenes of the night, or it was, the last scene of the movie. There's one of the explosions where we jump right away from the innocents exploding, and someone had it on their iPhone and taken a picture of the explosion, and I mean, taking a video of the explosion, and I come off, and everyone's like, woo, yeah, great job, and all you hear is me just walking off, no, it's not going to happen again. I hope you got what you want. You know, it's pretty bad. That was me, but it was pretty funny. I mean, a lot of the times, of course, we did weight training before, because I knew we had to be in skin tight costumes the whole movie, and I think, if anything, that just acted as padding for our body in the end, so like that extra water weight just stopped us from breaking all of our bones, and we fell down a lot.
For both of you, what was the most challenging part of making this, and what was the most rewarding part?
I think making the movie and then selling the movie. Definitely releasing the movie was the most rewarding part, once you found out, wait, somebody actually wants to watch this, and we're going to get to distribute that to everyone. But definitely the hardest part was just finishing the shoot. It was like that last week of shooting where it's just like you're just beaten up, you haven't been sleeping, and it's just like, oh wait, now we have to do all the action scenes in the last week, and we're dead.
Do you concur, Lucas?
I mean, that was one of the roughest shoots, I mean, as far as what you do, but then I don't even consider it that, because we had so much fun, and it was our own, you know, so it just doesn't register in your mind as other kind of pain or hard work would, because it was kind of simultaneously rewarding, because we were making our own movie, and it seemed to be going well enough, but I would say it was definitely one of the hardest shoots, because you're doing everything yourself. No one had one job. Everyone was either an actor in a grip, or an actor in craft service, or an actor and a script supervisor, who, whatever it was, we all had different roles to play. But certainly the reward is actually seeing it released. I mean, we have a lot of friends who can't even get their own movies released who are twice our age. So being able to do that at this time was, it was huge.
And for people who are big fans of All Superheroes Must Die, if you stay till past the credits, there's possibility that there's more stories.
Yeah, there definitely are, and I hope hope that we can keep pursuing the timeline of these superheroes. We definitely have a script for the sequel, and hopefully we'll be able to make that someday.
And no comic companies have come to you yet and tried to put out a Charge or Cutthroat comic?
I haven't had anyone approach me about it yet, but I would like to make one at some point regardless.
Well, I look forward to that, and I hope I can get you guys here again or whatever else you do next.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, awesome, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, man.
That was a good interview.
You enjoyed that, Byron.
Yes.
Joe Mussiri. So, all you have to do is email us at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com and just put in the headline, All Superheroes Must Die. This is not something you get to do very often. Have an email with that heading. All Superheroes Must Die. And you send it to lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. And that's it. Just put that, All Superheroes Must Die DVD. Or superhero DVD, you can shorten it. So, Joe Mussiri, you enjoyed the film.
Yes, I did.
You did. And what do you think? What worked for you?
I thought the being that this was the filmmakers, that they all had
standby
something
man.
Invested in it, and it was very tight. The acting was good. It was well edited and put together, and it was nice having a touch of James Remar in there as the villain to kick it up a notch and. That these guys could hold their own with a veteran actor.
Hello?
Yeah, you gotta hold on a second.
Oh, I'm not sure if this is...
Yeah, hold on. Joe's talking. It's very important.
Okay.
When Joe's talking, you can't talk, man. You gotta hold on. Can you hold on? We'll be right with you. Hold on. Go ahead, Joe.
What?
Oh, my God.
Hold on, man. You gotta be on the air. You gotta hold on a second because Joe's talking. Ma'am, you hear what I'm saying, ma'am? Hold on! Hold on. Joe, go ahead.
You're so funny.
You're so funny, Chris. I'm done. Good night, everybody.
That's it, Joe?
That's it.
All right. Okay, Mike, do you want to talk to her now?
Say it again? I'm sorry.
What did you want to say?
Talk to Chris for a while. Chris is very entertaining.
Is this Mike?
No, that's Chris.
Mike. What do you need?
Oh, Chris, you're back. I went up to Mike.
Why don't you want to talk to Chris?
You don't want to talk to me?
She's not even talking now, Chris. You scared her off.
I can't hear you.
She says she can't hear me. That's true. Nobody can ever hear me.
It's because you live too far upstate.
Is this Mike?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Mike.
Wait, I'll get Mike for you.
This is Cisco.
Hello? This is Mike.
You gave me the name Cisco, remember? A couple of weeks ago you gave me
Oh, yeah, I gave you that name Cisco, yeah.
And I told you that you're so funny. Anyway, I was listening to you talking tonight. Where have you been? I haven't heard you for a long time.
Yeah, well, you know what happened was, you know, I'm a bad boy. I had things to do, baby.
What was that?
You know what I'm saying? You know, I had things. I'm doing things. You know what I'm saying?
Mike,
what are you doing?
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Well, that's because, you know, sometimes you can hear me, sometimes you can't, you know what I'm saying?
Because
you
know. Your name is Mike Sargent, so I said,
yes, that's Mike
Sargent.
Mike Sargent, you spelled
that? Anyway, you are so hysterical. I'm listening to you tonight, but anyway, you were talking about the Rocky films, right?
Yeah, I was talking about the Rocky films. Yeah, what
about? Okay, here's the thing. In one of the last films, there was that Russian guy with blonde hair. Stone face, everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What about
see that one?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I was talking about. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, I had a boss. He looked just like him.
Oh, really?
He was about 6'5".
Oh, no kidding.
With the long, short hair, and always covered his arms, and he had a mean face him all the time. I said to myself, oh my God, that's him.
Really?
But he was Polish.
He was Polish, yeah.
I know, and so he never changed expression on his face. He was always mad and nasty and mean. And anyway, he's gone from my job. Anyway,
you don't work there anymore?
The show is listening to the Battle of the Rocky show. And I just thought that was so funny when he said.
I understand. What kind of job did you have there? What you used to do?
I work in a restaurant, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Don't laugh, Mike. I can't help it. Mike, stop.
Yeah, don't laugh at her, man. That's not cool, man. She has a deal, man. Don't laugh at her.
Well, you know, you come on down to the station and meet us while we're still here, you know. You come on down, you know, 120 Wall Street. We'll be here next week and the week after, and whenever you come down, we'll be right here waiting.
I live in Yonkers, so it's really hard for me to get to Manhattan. I work in Yonkers also.
Oh, you work in Yonkers? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I live in Yonkers. I work in Yonkers, and I used to work in Manhattan, but that's too much of a trip to me.
Ma'am.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to live where I live and work where I live and all that bull crap. Anyway,
Cisco, I can't let this go on. This is Mike Mayo. So
no, seriously, Mike, I miss you. I kept calling and saying, "Where's Mike? Where's Mike?"
Where did you call to say where's Mike?
This number. And they said Mike is off. Mike is off. Mike is off. And I'm like, I need to talk.
They
to
said Mike is off.
Where's, yeah, Mike is off.
Yeah. Well, you were off last week.
Yeah.
The week before that, too.
Where?
And he's been late on several occasions, so.
Yeah.
That's why we call him the late Mike Sargent.
No. And then I asked you, Chris, too. I also asked you. They were
really?
Chris, too. I'm like, Chris,
well,
too.
You know, you can pretty much always ask for Mike.
I'm his sidekick. Are you the sidekick? Yes?
Chris is the sidekick. Yes. Yeah. Sidekick.
Always ask for Mike.
He's like Hal.
And you work together.
He's virtual.
Yes.
And so many times when I called, they said, where's Mike Sargent? Then I said, where's Sergeant Mike?
And they you were calling other people's shows and asking for us.
Say it again?
You were calling other people's shows and asking for us.
No. I'm calling the same number. But I haven't
which number is that? Which number did you call?
The number I just called you at, Mike.
Oh, you would just call this number randomly asking for me, and they'd just say, oh, he's not on now. Well, I'm on Mondays. Mondays. Only on Monday.
Then they said you guys move up to Harlem.
Yeah, we're moving to Harlem, but we'll still be on Mondays at midnight till 2 a.m.
And then last night, Mike, I don't know how the
Harlem's closer
goes,
to Yonkers.
But last night was Midnight Ravengers.
No, it's the Midnight Ravers, not Midnight Ravengers.
But
that's
I was like, where's Mike?
J.R. Token.
And they were like, he's off. And I'm like, he's off? How long? I missed you a lot.
Some people feel I've been off.
She was having night shift withdrawal.
No, it's only Monday nights. I'm only on once a week. We're here once a week, all of us here.
Yeah.
Keith.
Only once a week.
The rest of the time we're in our beds.
That's right.
On assignment.
Chris talking. I hear Chris in the background.
Of course, Chris is always in the background. When I go home at night,
Chris is
in the background.
Yeah,
late at night when the demons come.
I hear Chris
is in the background.
Because when they said Mike is off for the week, and I'm like, is Chris there? They said, who's Chris?
Exactly. Who's Chris?
Sidekick.
He's the sidekick.
Is
Batman there? No, what about Robin?
You're the main person, and he's behind you, and I know that. I listen to you all the time. And
yes, he is behind me. I make sure he's 2-3 steps behind me at all times.
See that, Joe? We have fans that called, you didn't ask for Joe, did you?
And then I woke up, and I said, oh, my God, Mike is on. I have to listen. And then I was listening.
And then I'm not there.
I remember the one fan of his, Chris, that came in here, and I never seen anybody slide over under the control panel so fast in my life. So
why?
Certain fans
that Mike didn't want to be seen.
Not my fancy.
No, I just think like I said. I mean, I listen all the time. I listen all the time. I'm going to work, I'm coming back and everything, but I come home late, and I fell asleep, and I'm like, oh my God, I woke up, and it's like, oh my God, Mike is on, I have to listen to this.
Yeah,
they have pills for that.
I was laughing, like, LOL, laughing out loud, and I said, oh, I have to call him, because I haven't spoken to you, in, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because
you want to talk to Mike every
around.
Week, at least, yeah.
Huh?
Mike loves when you call every week, that's awesome.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? Mike, talk to me. What'd you say?
I'm here. That was Chris. Chris,
you get charged by the hour, you know.
You can call. You can call anytime, Cisco.
No, and then I was like, where's Mike? They said he's off for the week.
Yeah.
Off for the week. Okay, I thought maybe you're on vacation. Then he asked for Chris.
Well, perhaps.
They said Christmas not around either, so I'm thinking you guys take a buddy vacation.
They were misleading you, perhaps to amuse themselves. They were misleading
no,
you.
But
no, I was not off for the week.
I don't know how old you are, because the way you speak, I'm thinking you're like in 50, 60, 60 years old. Is that
wow. No, but, you know,
okay.
It's interesting.
Okay.
Now, I am eternal. I am ageless.
They just don't like to be asked that question.
Old.
It's just terrible.
But young.
You are just so funny. Like, before they woke up and listened to you about the Rocky films and all of that, and all the people calling in, you really are just hysterical. I
Thank
told you.
You
before.
And Joe's funny, too. You
should
know.
Go into comedy.
No, you can
really
take this
should.
All on your own, brother.
I'll just
stay here and
have I gone into comedy? I thought about comedy, but I felt that, you know, I didn't want to get fruit thrown at me.
Keith and I are just watching from the bleachers, cheering you on.
Thank you. Well, a lot of people what?
2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Mike.
Oh,
really
Mike. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You make the whole station like on this part of the hour, like when people are coming home from work and tired and depressed and angry at the job because the job is the job.
Mm.
And then you make me start with LOL. I really laugh out loud because I'm listening to you. I'm like, oh my God, this guy is hysterical.
That, you know what, Chris, Joe, I think that could be our new slogan. Night shift. LOL. What do you think?
I like Life is Like Science Fiction, but that's just me.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
Chris, what do you think?
Oh, I heard Joe speak Chris, for me. I'm letting Joe talk because Joe's right on it.
Now I'm wondering why he's hiding his face.
Well, you know, you can always bake a cake and send it to Mike, because Mike loves to receive cakes and stuff.
Okay, first of all, yeah. Mike, I don't bake.
Oh,
I'm lucky if I eat.
All right. Cisco, first
really
of all, Cisco, please don't pay attention to anything Chris says. Just, you know, as a kind of rule of thumb.
I really not paying attention to it. I am in the sense that if you really want me to bake a cake, because hell no. Hell no. I'm not baking a cake.
I want to know what Chris is smoking.
So, I'm not baking. I'm not
what?
Cooking.
What?
Right now.
I'm checking out Beth Stallone's IMDb.
Show is so hysterical.
He has written 25 films.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
He has directed 8.
Exactly.
He's acted
That's Keith.
In 64.
That's Keith. 64. Yeah, exactly. 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 Written 25 films. 25 films.
I mean, he
Say
probably
what
actually
you
wrote twice that much.
And was in all
half
of the ones he wrote.
Get made,
yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure.
They all got made.
I mean, what I'm saying is probably half the films he's written haven't got made.
No. Everything he. Let's put it this way. He pretty much writes his own ticket and has for 5 decades, almost, you know, pretty much. You know, that's a pretty amazing thing. He wrote his breakout film. He wrote his comeback film. He wrote a bunch of the big hits in between. You know, you got to give the guy a little bit of credit. No? I mean, you know, and he's Italian. Joe. Hey, Joe. Joe. He's Italian.
What does that mean?
Well, it means he's one of your people.
I'm Sicilian.
One of your people, Joe.
Not one of my people.
All right, well, he's close to one of your people.
Closer to the Marlon Brando people and Sylvester Stallone people.
Yeah.
There you go.
Joe, yeah.
I can hear you.
I'll talk into the phone. Chris.
I can hear him in the background, but I can't.
You could probably hear him better if you hung up and listened on the radio, but I didn't want to say that, but, you know. The fact of the matter is, it wouldn't cost you anything either, except during the pledge. Have you pledged? Are you planning to pledge
next week,
Cisco? Are you going to pledge,
Cisco? Next week, will you pledge?
I already did. Next week. Listen, Mike. Yes. I told him the other night when I called. I turned all my friends onto the station. All my friends, all my work people.
You told them when you called. So, in other words, you call, you ask for me, I'm not there, I'm not on. They tell you I'm off.
Cisco, how many friends do
you
have on Facebook?
You go on and tell them things about yourself.
Cisco, how many friends do you have on Facebook?
Now, stop it.
Ooh.
Anyway, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, what she happened was, for the bad girl film. I found the station. I found it by accident because I didn't have cable anymore, and I found it by accident. So I told all my friends and my coworkers, there's at least 20 people that we already pledged.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
I'm with you. Listen.
I didn't give Cisco.
In the words of old Macy.
I gave my right name.
I love
and
you.
All my friends. There was 20 of us that called and pledged.
You know, Cisco, you can get a library card for free and read all the books you want.
And I was telling my friends, too, about Dr. Knowles, Gary Knowles of Tulsa One. Okay. He's so informative, educational, and health, and all that.
We need more listeners like you.
Monroe has come back.
Say it again?
Reincarnated.
No, I'm saying, this is Mike, Cisco. I'm saying we need more listeners like you.
My friend owns a pizzeria restaurant, and I told him about the blueberries and the strawberries. So what he made was chicken.
The blueberries and the strawberries.
Blueberries and the strawberries. I know what you're talking about.
You say that so referential as if we had had a conversation about blueberries.
Me, honestly, Mike, I'll eat the strawberries and not the blueberries.
Mike, she's talking.
Sorry.
Are you listening?
I'm listening. I am.
But anyway,
are you hearing
her?
I completely am comprehending.
20 of my friends pledge already to the station.
I like that.
What did they pledge?
They pledge money.
Some of them pledge 10, some of them pledge 20.
I'm with that. I love it. Well, listen, just so you know, next week we're going to be asking them to pledge, and they're going to get a piece of history next week because we're going to have the best of the wall. We're going to have Night Shift. The best of Night Shift. The Wall Street years.
The other day when I called and I said, can I speak to Mike? The lady said, this is recorded. Mike is not here. So when are you there?
She said this pre-recorded, like there's a pre-recorded message that like when you call, that goes, Mike is not here. Click.
And I said, can I speak to Mike, please? And she said, Mike is not here. This is pre-recorded. So are you really there? That's why I was worried.
Well, I'm just curious,
if you're on vacation.
Wouldn't you be more concerned that how a pre-recorded message would know what you wanted to ask?
Yeah, this was like on Monday.
What's the phone number here, Byron?
Saturday night.
All right.
Is Byron even there? Did Byron go to sleep?
No, Byron is slumberland.
He's on assignment.
Okay, Chris, I'm talking to Mike. Shut up now. I'm just joking, Chris. I'm going to talk to you in a second. I love Chris. He's so cute.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
How do you know he's cute?
Because his personality is cute.
He's got a cute personality.
Like I go by personality. I don't go by looks. I never do.
You never do?
No, Mike, seriously. Do you go by looks on everybody or do you go by personality?
Oh, I go by personality.
Well, I do, so I'm thinking...
Excuse me, I have something in my throat.
I'm thinking he's so cute because he's so nice.
Yes, Chris is like a Pekingese.
Oh, what's he doing to you? He gave me like a body rub.
I like how the show is different things for different people.
There you go.
Chris
is giving Mike a happy ending.
Oh my god, that's so scary.
It is scary. More than you know.
No, because you know what happened? I have a friend, and he was in a relationship for 1 to 8 years. And he's taking really good care of me, like taking me back and forth to work so I don't get sick anymore. Anyway, he told me, long story short, that he goes to massages now.
The phone number.
And then he said to me, there's a massage where you can have a really happy ending. So is that what happened with you, Chris?
No.
Zero.
But, You made Keith choke. You made Keith choke.
Had a happy ending?
With the concept, you made Keith choke.
Wait,
the phone number.
You've got to be kidding me. Keith is choking. Yes, he is. I don't have a girlfriend anymore. I'm a free agent. I can do whatever I want.
Who said this?
I'm going to bludgeon myself with a
knife. You could. Chris, Keith, Joe. Give out the phone number. What's the phone number?
212-209-2900.
Because his personality.
Yes, he is cute. He's like a hobbit.
Oh, are you interested in him?
No, he's like a hobbit.
Seriously, though, Mike. I judge people by personality, not by looks.
That's good.
I know for a fact and here is going to be on your station. I can see a beautiful woman. Her personality is nasty, so she's ugly. You know what I'm saying? I can see a man who looks really good, and his personality is nasty.
I think we have to get rid of Chris and.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, but yeah, Joe has a story, though. He wants to share with us that they've discovered something.
No, it's the truth, Mike, because there are people who are beautiful outside, have a horrible, ugly inside.
That is very true.
And then there's people that are not
physically attractive, and they're beautiful
ugly,
people. Yes, I agree with you.
But they're beautiful inside.
Yes,
so they've
I agree.
Come from the inside, not from the outside.
Yes. I can
so you got
where's the
right?
Indian when we need him the most?
Hey, 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 I am the most important man in the world. I have made the most important film in the world. You must bow down to me, Mike Sargent.
I do agree with you, Cisco.
That's the truth. Beautiful people can be beautiful outside. If you're ugly inside, then
Cisco, is that your
outside.
Phone beeping? Do you have somebody
if
on the other line?
If you're not attractive inside, I'm not going to say ugly because I don't use that word. But if your insides are beautiful, then your outside is going to be beautiful.
I agree.
God bless us. That
That's why I way. Cleanse on a regular basis. This way my insides are just sparkling beautiful.
I understand.
So.
Chris.
High fiber.
So cute.
Thank you for the Vitatop to clean me out.
And what about Joe, what do you think of his personality? Cute or devilish? Yeah.
Either way.
I agree. He's like a 3-foot devil statue.
That says, on the one side it says I'm naughty, and the other side says I'm nice.
Ah, so you're naughty.
But seriously, Mike, I'm talking about Chris. I never seen either one of you, and I don't care what you look like.
Of course.
I just know you're good people. And you make people laugh, which people need that.
Yes, they do.
And you have good personality.
Well, thank you.
Both of you. And people need that.
Okay,
nobody
thank
wants
you.
To hear a negative person.
What about Joe and Keith? They're not really that.
Are you there, Mike?
I'm here. But I'm wondering about Joe and Keith. Do you think Joe and Keith have that whole personality thing?
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
He's got.
Would you say what thing?
Joe and Keith.
Who's Jill and Keith?
Yeah,
I don't even know who they are.
I know they didn't even register.
Yeah, she listens to the show on a rate. She's a loyal listener.
You just know about Chris.
Yeah,
well,
Chris
is the Robin.
And I pledge more like 20 friends.
He's the Robin.
I have 20 friends.
Hey, Robin.
I mean, I'm
listen, if you call after the show hours, I'll get you a bus ticket so you can go up and see Chris.
Just two shows a night. He'll be here all week.
I'll get your bus ticket.
Is it like warm, the weather, the Florida or something, Chris?
Two tickets to the Chris show.
There you go. Cisco, do you do windows?
I'll get you two tickets to the Chris show.
There you go.
And a free bus.
Free bus ticket. There you go.
Front row.
But are you going to get me home or are you going to just leave me there?
Well, it's totally up to you.
Exactly. If you and you and Chris click,
could be the new Green Acres.
You may not want to come back.
Green Acres is the place to be. Chris Taylor sitting prettily. Send up Cisco and they'll make a match.
Hey, Chris, I can hardly hear you.
Yeah, I can hardly hear me too.
Chris,
I've been saying that all those years.
I mean, I know you're not really going to send me a ticket, but I just want to hear the funny line behind it.
She wants to hear a funny line behind it.
Chris.
Joe, did you have a story, though, that you want to just give us before we have to go?
I get to give a story before we go?
You don't want to give a story.
I don't.
Or what about Keith? You want to give your story?
I don't have one.
Take Barnes.
Take this. You can have this.
No, that's too much for Keith.
Oh, yeah. It is?
Take one of
Barnes. I can't handle it.
What happened to Chris? He's in the bathroom?
Chris is in the bathroom.
Chris is online looking the bus schedule right now.
Chris is in the bathroom.
He's checking the bus schedule.
Chris is in the bathroom.
He's going to see if he can get you the Bolt bus for a dollar.
The Bolt bus?
Bolt bus or Mega bus for a dollar?
Bolt bus. Is it really a Bolt bus?
Yes.
Joe
knows about all the
transportation.
You're so funny. You're really so funny. That's why I said, Mike, go into comedy, because you really should. I mean, I don't know how much this job is paying you, but you can do both.
Well, you know, I probably could make the same amount.
Plus this job, because I have Chris as your sidekick.
Yeah, Chris is my side. That'll be our act. I could put him on my knee like a...
You call him salt and pepper.
Like a... like a manic... Like, what do they call those?
You're like the circus.
Like a puppet.
Vaudeville.
Chris can be my puppet.
Now, there was a guy that he was trying to...
strings on his hand.
Exactly, exactly. Chris, what do you think? We're going tour. Right, Chris,
at least you can move his mouth when you really wanted to hear something
exactly.
from him.
I'm just Chris.
All right, Chris, let's try it out. Get on the floor.
I'm the puppet master.
Exactly. Dance, Chris.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Exactly. I'll do like a Vincent Price impression.
How's it fit?
Do we have anything else to give away other than the...
We do, actually. In the last few minutes, all right, I have two of them.
Chris, are you on
And you
the
have to email me. And you have to email me quickly. Okay.
I've never seen him move so fast on that slide before.
I just have to say, okay. I have two DVDs of the Denzel Washington film, which I thought was one of the best films of the year. Robert Zemeckis' film, Flight.
Flight!
Two DVDs to give away of Flight. So all you have to do is Life is Like Science Fiction. The first two people to email me, get ready. Just put Flight DVD.
Mike, I've seen that film email. Four times.
I've seen it three times. Life is Like Science Fiction.
I didn't mean to, but...
At gmail.com.
Actually, the subject line should be Lay Denzel on Me.
Lay Denzel. Listen... Flight. Just put Flight. Okay. Don't put Lay Down on Me. Well, you can put that, but you have to have done it in the last minute or so. So there it is. Flight. And I have to say, I really, really like the film. I thought that...
It really proves how coke is a really great drug.
What?
It gets you out of trouble, right?
What are you talking about?
Remember in the film he kept taking coke and that kind of woke him up?
No. No, but yeah, but I really thought the film had a lot to say about a lot of things. I thought it had a number of great set pieces. I do think Zemeckis is a master filmmaker. I think he's a master filmmaker.
Denzel
at this
was brilliant.
Point. And Denzel was the best special effect in the film. I thought he was brilliant. I thought he gave such an amazing performance, and I think he always does. And I really, really enjoyed the film. Did you see the film, Joe?
Nope.
Joe, I'm telling you, for me, right now, I'd probably say it's probably next to Back to the Future. It's my favorite Zemeckis film.
Okay.
And I liked Castaway.
Castaway was a good film.
When
he got into the whole animated thing,
what's the other one? Well, you know, those are something else. But what?
Those are Roger Zemeckis films.
Yeah, I know, but it's something else. They're not even in.
But we have two DVDs. Two copies of Flight. Used cars is a great film.
With Kurt Russell.
Well, yeah. That's
I thought Ron Howard directed that.
No, he did.
I think it's Zemeckis.
He did. He was in Eat My Dust.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Zemeckis.
Babalu Mandel. Remember those guys? Babalu Mandel and the other guy.
Didn't Zemeckis do what was the? Didn't he do the Elvis film?
I don't know.
That was Kurt Russell, though. Maybe he did.
Wasn't that Zemeckis? There was an Elvis film, Young Elvis.
But he was like
movie.
One of those Spielberg guys.
Well, Spielberg
you know?
Like kind of liked what he had done on something.
Well, his style was similar.
Yes. But
so he did that Harrison Ford movie with Lies Beneath.
I thought Lies Beneath really, really worked for me. Worked better than Mama for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same
scenario. Product of your age.
Well, you liked Mama?
Yes.
A lot.
It's different.
I didn't see Mama.
Wow. Did you see what Lies Beneath?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Michelle Pfeiffer. Right?
Yes. And Harrison Ford.
I thought it was fine. I mean, I don't think I was blown away, but
you weren't blown
fine.
Away, but you
no,
thought
I
it was
wasn't
fine.
Blown away.
And what did you? What's your favorite Zemeckis film?
Death Becomes Her.
You love that, really?
Yes.
That's your favorite Zemeckis film.
Yes, because it embodies really? Everything that he does.
Really? Okay, yes. That's interesting. What's your favorite Zemeckis?
Probably Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, the first.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't even care for the other ones. I don't even
really?
Count
really.
The second one was
those.
Fun. Second the one third was one was
good.
A little.
It was okay, but
second one was a lot of fun.
I thought it lost the magic after that.
Second
opinion.
One though had a tad racist for me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the
it was
mayor.
Like they go back to the neighborhood. It's like, you know, what are you doing about? You know, like it's a black neighborhood now. Like it's gone down. Even in the future, we're still. It's still the guy.
Which is kind of ironic that he directed this black actor in probably one of his very best films. Because he kind of got a reputation.
Yeah. Those are things that bothered me at the time. And that was, it was more generally accepted in the culture to depict black people in the future as being, as, you know, downtrodden as they are today.
As opposed to, you know, what
as opposed to them becoming president of the United States.
As opposed to what Quentin Tarantino did.
I'm sorry.
Right. So yes. Listen, guys. We're down to our last 8 minutes. Let's just talk about how incredible it was to have BAI at 120 Wall Street and what that meant, because it's the last 8 minutes that we're going to ever be able to talk about it.
Tell me how incredible it was that I called.
Oh, my God. She's still here. I thought you hung up on her, Mike. By accident. Anyway, you know, so Joe, what was your, very quickly, everybody, you know, what's your, like, everyone gets a minute or whatever to talk about what it meant to
when did you become the group leader here? It's like I'm in therapy. We're going to go around the circle. Everyone gets a minute.
And I'm not trying to.
Perfect. It's phenomenal. And if I didn't give up cable, I was switching around the TV.
Let's go. You got to chill out for a second. You got to be quiet for a second here, because we're talking something heavy here, okay? So go ahead, Mike. You can go first if you want.
I'll let Joe go first. Joe,
just annoying.
What's your thought about coming down?
I think
here
my
Wall
best
Street,
times what? Here were during the show when Mike wasn't here and we could talk about him. And
oh, really?
As Chris is my co-host, and
Chris, you and Chris doing the show is your favorite shows
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly.
Look at that, Chris. His favorite shows is doing the show with
actually,
you.
Actually, no. I think the funniest thing was when we did a Halloween show, and we had Father Todd up, and he brought in. Someone who was the head of, I forget what division, of the Satanic Church of whatever. And we were taking phone calls, and he spread it out through his web. And we had calls coming in from Europe.
I remember that
thing. And it was just like, it was, you know, I ran into him again. And I think the guy's been sniffing a little bit too much glue. And he's not as imposing as he used to be.
I understand.
So, you know, it's like he's on the happy sauce.
Huh. So, the soy sauce?
The happy sauce, not the soy sauce.
The soy sauce.
Soy sauce should be intense.
Yeah, soy sauce.
But I think collectively was when we walked in here the Tuesday after 9/11 or the Wednesday after 9/11.
Yeah.
And it was like just an experience to get down here.
I remember that. The Tuesday we could get back in after 9/11.
So, and the only thing being open was McDonald's. Across
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know, and now we have it again too. After Sandy, it's a ghost town down here.
Away. Yes, it is. And Byron, what's your fondest memory of being down here at Wall Street? Fondest memory.
First time we did the first show here.
Really? It felt like we had stepped up. Yeah. I do remember that. It felt like, wow, we have a real radio station now.
Well, it was bigger. It's a bigger room than
much bigger, and it was just much more. You know, we're downsizing considerably now. We're going to about, you know, whatever, a 20th of the space. But it's I've enjoyed this time, and I've enjoyed being here, and I've enjoyed the locale of coming down to 120 Wall Street at its best for me. You know, when the weather's warm and you know I'm
summertime.
Preparing. No, I love the summer, and I love. I do. And I love when I'm going down and I've got, you know, an agenda for the show. And
I
know.
You want to rephrase that.
You know, Mike, what my favorite memories are?
All right, well, you can tell yours first. Go ahead. What's your favorite memory?
Before we even got on the air, when we used to go on your radio in your room in high school and just make up shows.
Pretending to do
that
a show.
Nobody... Before you even got into a radio station.
I understand.
That goes back pretty far.
Yes, I used to pretend to do the show.
You're still talking to those voices.
Yeah, still talking to the voices out there in the ethers. Well, here's the thing. First of all, you can now like us on Facebook, NITESHIFT, if you've enjoyed the show. And if you've been listening for years, you realize what a milestone this is. This is the last show. For me, I enjoy, like I said, coming down here in the summer, knowing that I'm doing a radio show, and I'm going to be on there, and I'll be talking to people in New York, and it's late at night, and I love late at night. It's my favorite time. I do. I'll admit that. I'll admit that.
Yeah, we're down to our last 4 minutes. Yes. Byron, how about you?
Yes. Yes.
Your last memory, your best memory
of
doing the show down here. Look at Byron. It's like, Your Honor. No, he said he enjoyed the whole thing.
Well, we know what I
so
want
what's
to say
your is, you Brian did wait hold on Chris so. You no you got to go now because you did their comeback show here. You came down.
Yes.
You hadn't seen the station, you hadn't been on the show, you had been calling in for a while, we had reconciled, you finally came back and did the show, and you did a couple of shows, and I even have one of the shows I'm going to have next week for the premium that will be the, you know, Best of Night Shift, the Wall Street Years, is the Carrie Elwes show. You remember that show?
Yes, that was
so
tell me, what
was it like for you coming down here for the first time, and what's your fondest memory?
Coming down to BAI for the first time at 120 Wall Street was incredible because the station seemed like a class in itself.
Right.
BAI had become a class act from 38th Street. It had stepped up. It was right down in the heart of the financial district. I felt important. I felt that the station was important, that it had an incredible voice. I know it's going to translate back into Harlem now, and it's going to be the same thing, but it just felt that we had made it, and we had moved, we were moving on up, so to speak, and that's what it felt like. And it was incredible. It was incredible to go down to the station, and it'd be on the 10th floor, and you could look over Manhattan and see Wall Street and walk down into Wall Street. It was just a great, great experience. Every show at the station was a wonderful experience. And, you know, and seeing Max, and then Max go hide in his room, wherever he was, you know, because he had plenty of rooms to hide in over there. This is great. I loved it. Loved every minute of doing it. Every show at 120 Wall Street.
And you, Keith, any specific Wall Street, you say you just love the show. And what about you, Joe? Because you used to, there was a point when you first started the show, you had the Joe Mobile. You would drive here.
Yep.
6 o'clock in the morning, heading back.
Yeah. That was fun too, going back with Joe, and Joe dropping me off wherever he wanted. Get out.
The official night shift
mobile.
The car service provided by Joe. But you know what? I think one of my favorite things too. I was thinking about was after they had shut down CBS FM, and it was just before Halloween, and we had Zachary on the air.
Because he had been
a staple in New York every Halloween, and they had transformed to that Jack format at CBS.
Yes.
And it was like, there's going to be no Halloween with Zachary this year. I was like, find him. 80-something years old, he drove down here, two hearing aids, and he was waiting for me down here. It was like, I'll give you money, take a cab down. No, that's okay, I'll drive down. Get out of here.
There were some great, great moments on radio.
Yeah, the great moments. And I had, you know who was on the show here? I had Al Lewis on the show on Night Shift here.
When he used to be here.
When he used to be here on Earth.